A listener's note. All websites and phone numbers herein are accurate at the time of publication, but may change in the future or cease to exist. The listing of website references and resources does not imply publisher endorsement of the site's entire contents. Groups and organizations are listed for informational purposes, and listing does not imply publisher endorsement of their activities. For a copy of the endnotes and resources, go to moodypublishers.com and search by the title, Reading the Bible, Missing the Gospel. Click on the download in the free resources section. Unless otherwise indicated, scripture quotations are from the ESV Bible, the Holy Bible English Standard Version. Scripture quotations marked NIV are taken from the Holy Bible New International Version. Scripture quotations marked MSG are taken from The Message. Scripture quotations marked GNT are from the Good News Translation. To my parents, Dennis and Becky, for displaying the good news of Jesus consistently and for never settling in your pursuit of God and His truth in your everyday life. To my parents, Dennis and Becky, for displaying the good news of Jesus consistently and for never settling in your pursuit of God and His truth in your everyday lives. Forward. In John 8, we find a fascinating exchange between Jesus and some religious leaders that reveals a lot about the nature of belief and about the nature of Jesus Himself. Now, the four Gospels record numerous run-ins with the theological industrial complex of the day, but in John 8, verses 48 through 59, the leaders come out swinging. They basically accuse Jesus of being demon-possessed. Jesus, of course, denies the charge. And then He begins to thwart their presumed authority by asserting His own. Not just as a spiritual guru or as a theologian or even as a pillar of moral example, but as the center of the God-blessed universe. He tells them, first of all, that God is invested in Jesus' glory. He tells them that if they believe in His word, they won't die. He tells them that Abraham envisioned His ministry. And He tells them, in fact, that before Abraham was, Jesus is. This is a series of staggering claims, all neatly stacked on top of one another. And what they amount to is a claim of divine authority, of divine self-revelation. Jesus is obviously claiming to be God. Naturally, the leaders are unsettled by this. In their mind, Jesus is blaspheming. So they take up stones to execute Him. The spiritual import of this scene should be revealing to everyone who reads it. Jesus has revealed the vital, life-giving truth about Himself, and He is rejected. More than that, He is despised, and the religious leaders want to kill Him. Then, something extraordinary, if we have the eyes to see it, happens. In verse 59, we read that as they picked up stones to throw at Him, Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple. What do you suppose that means, He hid Himself? Did Jesus run away? Did He jump behind a nearby pillar? Did He pull one of those, hey, look over there, guys, ruses, and hide when they were distracted? It is difficult to say, but this looks like it could be a miraculous obscuring. It's possible that Jesus became, effectively, invisible. There is a similar incident in Luke chapter 4 where an angry crowd has pushed Jesus to the edge of a cliff to throw Him off, and He just walks right through them. Ever wonder how He managed that? But I don't think this is just some neat trick. Whether Jesus literally hid Himself behind something in order to sneak away, or He supernaturally veiled Himself in some way, the point either way is heartbreaking. They can't see Him. The theological importance of this reality is perhaps the primary point of the entire scene. Disbelief blinds us. These guys are looking right at Jesus, but somehow they cannot see Him for who He truly is.